Welcome to another edition of Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. It is week two recaps. Now we're going to talk about here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. In the studio on this Labor Day Monday evening is Mike Gallagher, sports writer, reporter, editor, I believe, for the Sand Lake County News. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's a nice Labor Day Monday, and good to get a couple days off here for the holiday, and looking forward to getting back to work on Tuesday, though.
All right, and join us via Zoom, so we're going to be careful here. We might be able to slight delay and whatnot.
We'll see, yeah.
Jonathan Bisher also hanging out at home after laboring, not throughout the week, but we're actually working, right? So, how you doing, Jonathan? Jonathan Bisher of Thumbtugger Sports, and he was doing some games this past week also. He's on Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com and able to join us via Zoom. So, we hope this works. We're going to try this out here. So, you know, week two in the books. Some games were played on Wednesday. One we did actually in Thumbtugger. I filled in with Dave Frederick. That was high school eight-player football. A pretty good battle there, Mike. It was Deckerville winning, but they had to come from behind to beat K-Pac. That was a fun game, man.
That was a fun game, yeah. I wasn't really sure what to expect from K-Pac. We knew that they had opened the season with a win against North Huron. North Huron, a team with a lot of question marks, though, with all the talent that they graduated. So I wasn't really sure what to expect from K-Pac, but they looked good. They held the lead going into halftime, and when Deckerville started to pull away in the second half, K-Pac never really went away.
No, they kept fighting. It was just the turnovers that really cost.
It was.
And Deckerville took advantage of those turnovers in the second half.
And that's what happens when you play Deckerville. You can't make any mistakes because Deckerville's not going to make any mistakes.
Well, Deckerville made some mistakes here and there, but K-Pac Chiefs defense, you know, stood up to them.
Yeah. K-Pac, they looked, you know, in spots, they looked bigger than Deckerville. Yeah. So credit to Deckerville for, you know, kind of grinding out that win, because you could tell probably about midway through the third quarter that, you know, Deckerville was kind of wearing them out, wearing them down, and just took advantage of some big plays.
All right, we'll talk about that on Tuesday when we do our coverage of the Blue Water Area Conference and the High School 8 Player Football. This format will be about the Greater Thumb Conference. Probably one of the biggest games in Greater Thumb Conference was former Greater Thumb West rivals, now cross-conference rivals. Jonathan Bisher, we were keeping an eye on this game. It was the Lakers up against Cass City Redhawks. And you covered Cass City in week one at Reese, and the Redhawks just flew right by the Rockets. I think the Redhawks' wings were faster than the Rockets. They kept them grounded, and they crashed and burned. And they did it again against Harbor Beach also in week two, a game that you covered with Reese at Harbor Beach. You know, sorry, Reese Rockets, you know, it is what it is. You know, then Cass City played Lakers in week two. Lakers able to pull off the win. But Cass City was leading that game also, I believe, earlier.
Yeah, I think at one point in the first half, they were up like 12-6 or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But like you said, they looked so good week one. Week two, like same thing I think kind of happened in the Deckerville K-Pac. Lakers just kind of warmed down in the second half. The day to Cass City, and then you come to Reese. Reese is a lot of question marks, and they got a lot to work on in the upcoming weeks.
Okay, and we're going to talk to Paul Adams about that game. He is going to be available for today to talk about that also. Another opener was Armada for Rio. Week one, yes, they were. They got their win also, and I do believe they played against the Yale Bulldogs this week. So a good win for them. Some questions about some eight-player football teams also. We'll talk about that. But let's get through these scores. Week two scores. Talked about it Wednesday, August 31st. It was Deckerville over K-Pac, 40-28. And then on Thursday games, Harbor Beach shuts out Reese, 42-0. The game that we did on Sand Lake Broadcasting, WBGV 92.5 FM. Good bounce-back win for the Bad Axe Hatchets as they came to Sandusky's Field there, Mike Gallagher, and won 52-14. They just laid the shellacking. Good bounce-back win for Bad Axe after their week one loss at Ubley.
Yeah, I know you guys covered that game, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that one because I haven't had a chance to see Sandusky. I saw them at their scrimmage in the preseason, but I haven't had a chance to see Sandusky yet in the regular season. So I'm interested to hear you know, what you saw again, with them against Bad Axe. I think we kind of talked about it in the preseason show. You know, Lakers and Bad Axe, they're the top two teams in the West, and we knew it was going to be a tough start for Sandusky, and we're going to see how they bounce back from those two losses.
All right, again, I'm repeating these scores. Here we go. Deckerville over K-Pac, 40-28 in high school player football on Wednesday. Thursday games had Harbor Beach over Reese, 42-0. Bad Axe defeating Sandusky, 52-14. Lakers big win over Cass City, 39-12. Vasher shuts out Memphis, 28-0. Ublish defeats Carroll Tigers 42-6. Marlette defeats Unionville Seaboing 38-12. We're going to talk about that game with Mike Gallagher, who was at that game also. Croswell Lexington allowed 7 points, but they beat Richmond 61-7. The shutout streak ends.
Yeah, I'm sure the Pioneers are very upset about that, but 61-7 victory, you can't do much better than that.
Armada over Yale 42-18. Elmont shuts out Hamtramck 44-0. North Branch laying down the smackdown on Emily City 60-7. High school eight player games. Akron Fairgrove over Carsonville Port. Sanic, bring on the horn. That's the Dark Norseman horn. You know, there was a legendary settlement of Norsemen and Vikings that settled in Akron and Fairgrove, and that's why they're called the Vikings. Legend says it. Akron-Fairgrove Vikings gets the win over the Carsonville Port St. Lake Tigers 26-14. Bay City All Saints defeats North Huron 28-16. Peck shuts out Caseville 54-0. That Brown City loss is in history now. Mayville defeats Burton Atherton, edging them 34-32. They're 2-0 right now. Ashley defeats New Haven Merritt 26-6. Brown City over Verrantville, Maple Valley. Who knows where that is? 40-20 is the final score. And on Friday afternoon, Scott Bowles, we went to this game. This was a good win for Kingston over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, 46-28.
Yeah, that was the one that I was really interested in because Oakland Christian, that was a team we saw scrimmage and Peck in the preseason, and they looked good. They looked fast. They threw the ball around. They had a lot of speed to get to the outside. And, you know, Kingston, it was a nice week one win for them against Akron Fairgrove, but it doesn't really tell you a whole lot about Kingston. I think the win against Oakland Christian tells us a lot about Kingston.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get deep into this Greater Thumb Conference. It's all Greater Thumb Conference today for this Monday, Labor Day edition of our week two recap of the Sportsline Radio Show, High School Football Sports Show. Tomorrow on Tuesday, we'll talk about the Blue Area Conference and the High School A Player football games. We do want to make a note, though, when we come back, some changes. A couple teams have dropped out officially in our coverage area, which in the Blue Water Area Conference, Greater Thumb Conference, East and West, and NCTL High School A Player Football. So we'll be right back here on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. It's the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Denny King, the King of Cars here at Moore Motors in Carroll. What a crazy couple years we've had coming out of an unprecedented quarantine. Toilet paper and food shortages, insane gas and fuel prices, mask or no mask, vehicle shortages. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, this world, and particularly the car business, has changed forever. With that said, Moore Motors Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is here, fully staffed with seasoned veterans to assist you with all your car needs. Sales, parts, service, and body shop. We have certified experts on hand to assist you ordering exactly what vehicle you want with the exact options. And finally, I can say we have 34 new vehicles and 58 pre-owned in stock. And don't worry, friends, we're not charging over sticker for our vehicles like some of our competitors. We're paying top dollar for needed trade-ins as well as lease turn-ins. So come experience why we were voted the number one new car dealer in the Thumb by you, our friends, neighbors, and customers. This is Denny King, the King of Cars, and I'm excited to assist you and see you soon. Or visit us on the web at themoreautogroup.com.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show, recap of Week 2 action. And now we're going to talk about getting to the nit and grit. Monday show, of course, on this Labor Day is all about the Greater Thumb Conference. Why? Because there's a lot of teams. We focus on the Greater Thumb Conference on Mondays, and then on Tuesdays, the Blue Water Area Conference in High School A Player Football. So here we are with Mike Gallagher, sports writer of the St. Lake County News, and also Jonathan Bisher of Thumb Chugger Sports. And on the phone joining us, Paul Adams of the Huron County View once again for a third straight week of the Sportsline Radio Show. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Everybody can hear everybody. I think we're good.
Yeah, I want to point this out there.
Everything.
Yeah, I want to point out that Mike Gallagher showed me how to do a conference call on my cell phone. I've never done it before, so thank you, Mike. I should have recorded that for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the game of a team that's going to have a tough game this week. It will be on Thumbchugger Sports at Channel 1 at thumbchugger.com. Jonathan Bisher will cover this game. God bless Danny Lester. Always keeps really great stats of every game for, I don't know, he's got a great staff that does that. Marlette Red Raiders get the win 38-12 against the Unionville Seaboing Area Patriots. Marlette actually was down 6-0 in the first quarter. Then they scored 14 points in the second. And then in the 0 points for USA in the second. In the third quarter, just 6 points for USA, and the onslaught came from Marlette. The adjustments were made. They scored 24 points. Nobody scored in the fourth at that point, It was 38-12. Good one here for the Marlette Red Raiders, and they are now 2-0.
Yeah, great start to the season for Marlette. We talked about it in the preseason. They lost so much on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, and they're such a young team this year. And you know, they have 10 upperclassmen on the roster and just two seniors. So to start off the year with a couple wins, that's going to be huge for their confidence. Yeah, they do have Ubley coming up, but it's nice to get these two wins right off the bat. And, you know, talking to Coach Lester after the game, he said, you know, we're a young team and we're going to make mistakes, but it's nice to make those mistakes and then still win. You know, it's nice to have those learning experiences in a victory. And I think for Marlette, what they found out against USA is they're going to have to be tougher on the defensive line. USA kind of moved them around on their first drive. You know, USA is very good at what they do offensively, and they looked really efficient against Marlette's D-line. Now, Marlette settled in, and they looked a lot better, you know, but it's going to be a learning experience for Marlette, but it also opens up the opportunity for some of these JV kids to step in. You know, Denny mentioned they're kind of working with that balancing act of, you know, the five-quarter rule. So they have a few JV kids that are playing a few quarters on JV and then a few on varsity. And, you know, these JV kids are going to start earning some playing time. In the game against USA, sophomore Dominic Crosno, he earned a varsity spot. He'll be the starting fullback going forward. And I expect to see a lot more of that from Marlette, you know, these JV guys stepping up and taking some of these positions.
Yeah, we thought they would be a little down this year. But, Paul, they're winning the games they're supposed to win, and that's a good thing right now to start off 2-0. The win over Carroll in week one, 44-6. And in week two, Unionville Seaboard, a little bit of a question mark, but they do play tough. But Marlette came out on top 38-12 after being down 6-0 at one point there. But a good win there for the Marlette Red Raiders.
Well, it's definitely a good win, and it's a loss in more ways than one for the Patriots. Obviously, they lose the game on the field, but they lost some key players during the game. You know, Mike was there, and he saw the players go down. And when you look at that USA sideline, there's not a whole lot of guys to fill those roles. Coach Hahn knew going into this season that, you know, they had to try to stay healthy. And if they could stay healthy, he felt like they could be pretty competitive. But, you know, the injuries hurt USA last year, and already 2 weeks in, injuries are hurting USA again. And you start to wonder, how long can USA keep this going before they really start looking at maybe they might have to pull the plug on a varsity season? I know it's the last thing that USA wants to do, but whether or not you want to do it or not, you have to protect the kids, and you do not want to throw freshmen and sophomores to the wolves that aren't ready to be there. And conference play hasn't even started for USA, and the conference is going to be very tough. So it's been a really, really rough stretch. I know USA contemplated going down to eight-player football for this season. That didn't happen, but and, you know, looking in hindsight, that might have been the best course of action for USA, because I don't see this team being very competitive and very many wins to be had for this team as it's currently constructed.
Yeah, and so up next, Marlette will have Ubley, but later in week four, they'll have Sandusky, then followed by Harbor Beach, and then Memphis, and then Cassidy, Vassar, and they schedule Waterford, Our Lady Lakes, but that's in week nine. I like that scheduling of Waterford, Our Lady Lakes for playoff points.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. That's not the same Waterford, Our Lady of Lakes that they've been in the past.
Yeah.
They're pretty down as a program now. So you look at the schedule for Marlette, you know, that Sandusky game looks like, you know, maybe a winnable game. I believe they cross over with Vassar, and then they also have Memphis. So there's some more wins there for Marlette. And, you know, as the season goes on, these players that are, you know, they had just gotten their first start of their varsity career last week against Carroll. You know, now they're going to be able to build on that. And I think there's a lot of explosiveness with the Marlette offense. You know, that's usually their key point for Marlette. They always have a solid offense. And with Quentin Sarton taking over at quarterback, I think he adds a different dimension to the offense with his running ability. Last year they had Jason Tenbush. He was a great passer, a very efficient passer. He had a lot of offensive weapons, but he wasn't really that mobile quarterback. And I think Quentin Sarton, he's going to add that to the offense for Marlette. They have a couple of pretty good tailbacks, and they're... I'm interested to see how they do against Ubley. It's going to be a tough matchup with the way Ubley plays. because Marlette did struggle with USA a little bit at the beginning of the game with their physicality up front. But I'm interested to follow Marlette for the rest of the season and see these young players develop.
What I like about Marlette, the rushing game, has been more of a
a little more prominent.
A little bit more prominent, than the passing game. They had 275 rushing yards against USA, 85 yards passing-wise, just enough, pretty good balance.
That's on four passing attempts, two completions. And their biggest play of the game was a touchdown as time expired before the half. A 68-yard touchdown pass from Sarton to Tristan King, and that really set the tone for the second half because that gave Marlette the lead going into halftime, and they really didn't look back from there.
The other key thing here, the leading rusher was the quarterback.
Yes.
142 yards, 12 carries.
Yep.
He didn't get any touchdowns, but he set up the other guys for the touchdowns. Is that a little bit of a concern, maybe, that now the defense is going to start to focus on the quarterback instead?
I think if the defense starts to focus on the quarterback, that's totally fine for Marlette because they have a couple of tailbacks in Tyler Isidoric and Logan Malloy that can, make defenses pay for focusing on the quarterback.
The other concerning thing, of course, the Marlette defense. In the past, legendary, they allow a lot of points sometimes, a lot of defense. Now, they played some, because you can say, teams that are not as strong so far. They did allow 190 rushing yards against Unionville Seaboing, and 94 passing yards also.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit of a question mark this year. We've talked about all the defensive starters that they lost from last season. But you look at week one against Carroll, that's a team that kind of spreads it out. They have more of an air raid offense, and Marlette looked good there. After the first half against USA, the defense looked pretty good for Marlette, and USA is a completely different team offensively than Carroll. So there's a little bit of versatility with the Marlette defense, but once you get into these games with Ubley, Cassidy, Sandusky, you're going to have to be able to stop the run, and we're going to see if Marlette can do that.
Yeah, 7 attempts rushing for Logan Malloy, 57 yards total, but he had 2 touchdowns. Tyler Isidoric had just 2 attempts on 45 yards and 1 touchdown also. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we continue our discussion about Marlette and the Ubley Bearcats after a quick break here on the Sportsline Radio Show in our 5 p.m. hour on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to WMIC's Sportsline Radio Show, recapping Week 2 action of high school football in our coverage area. We left off on Marlette and Ubley. So, guys, Paul, and we'll bring in Jonathan here also. Now Marlette is at Ubley. Now they're going to be in a whole different boat. They allowed 190 rushing yards against USA. I could see that maybe double right there, the way Ubley's been able to run there, Jonathan.
Well, yeah. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Ubley's had 361 yards rushing and 403 yards rushing. So if Marlette doesn't figure out how to stop the run, it could be another long night for them against the Bearcats.
Yeah, I agree, Jonathan. I mean, Ubley's on a different they're just on a different level than most teams right now, especially in Division 8. I mean, like Johnson said, they're over 360 yards, 400 yards, and I expect that trend to continue. And you got to keep in mind, that 360 yards in Week 1, that was against a pretty good FedEx defense, which they absolutely shredded. So, everything looks really positive for Ubley. But, you look at them on the other side, I don't think a lot of us expected Marlette to be 2-0 at this time. So I think, Coach Lester's done a great job, and this will be a good measuring stick, see where Marlette is. And kind of maybe, show the kids, hey, first 2 weeks have been good, but here's what you got to work on.
Jonathan, you can point out and tell me, Ubley Bearcats just ripped all over the Tigers there. It was a cat fight, but it was more like Ubley winning this cat fight for sure. Tell us about the yardage and tell us about some of the top players in that game against Carroll.
Everybody knows Ubley Mark Heilig was the featured back last year, of course, along with Peruski at quarterback. But, I mean, what do they do first 2 weeks of the year? They go right back to Heilig as they actually move him fullback to halfback. And 2 weeks into the year, he's at 285 yards rushing, and he hit 197 yards last week and 5 touchdowns. And what I know the sad part is that Marlette Keyes to stop Heilig. They got a new running back named Dane Makoviec that had 128 yards on 11 carries. So then you got Evan Peruski on the outside. So for Marlette, it's really going to be of which one of those three are you going to want to stop, because it looks like any three of them can torch you at any time.
And Paul,
and Jonathan, that was a game where Evan Peruski played very sparingly. And so it does show that it's not just the Evan Peruski show for Ubley.
Yeah, 2 carries, 9 yards, and a touchdown. It was all Peruski had.
Paul, you saw them against Bad Axe in week one, and you made the claim that I think this is a better team than last year. What makes them better compared to last year? What is it that makes them better? Yeah, I mean, that was a good Ubley team last year.
There's a couple of things, Eddie. One is experience. A lot of these guys, the guys that are returning, most of these guys were on the a lot of them played on the state runner-up team. They were all on the state semifinal team from a year ago. So experience matters. These kids they know what it takes. They've been in this system. They're a year older. So number one is experience. And number two is just pure talent. I mean, when you look at this team top to bottom, find me a weakness. I dare you. You can't find me a weakness on this Ubley team. Maybe you could nitpick on the passing defense just a little bit. Bad Axe did get them a little bit on the passing game. But I think if you give Ubley proper time to prepare for a passing game, they're going to be fine. So I don't think there's a lot of weaknesses. I think this is the perfect mix. I think the backfield is better than it was last year. The addition of Makoviec, I think Seth Maurer, High League is a senior now. Evan Peruski's approaching 30 starts as a quarterback. I think these running backs block better than the running backs last year. And I think that's a huge key. It goes overlooked in the wing T offense of how much running backs matter when they're not handling the ball. All those guys have assignments and blocking assignments. And when they're carrying those out, whoever has the ball is going to be really hard to stop. So it's just a combination of experience and also coaching. You know, when you look at the Ubley coaching staff, it starts with Coach Sweeney, but you look up in the box, you look up in the booth, and you've got head coaches all over the place. So you've got just a wealth of knowledge and a system that's easy to understand and a disciplined team. I think, they know what they have. No, we don't need to tell Ubley what they have. They know what they have, but they're staying very focused on every week at hand. I think they're a very dangerous team as long as they're healthy.
Yeah, we're going to see how good the Ubley Bearcat defense can, stop. I guess focus will be on a quarterback there for Marlette so far. And I think they're pretty good at picking that up there, Mike, also with the Marlette Red Raiders at the Ubley Bearcats. But that's for us to wait and see if they can do that, if the Marlette line can give him the protection and the time he needs in the backfield also.
Yeah, well, and Paul mentions if there's one thing you can nitpick with Ubley, it's their pass defense. Marlette should give him a little bit of a test with that. Aaron Bauer is he's a big weapon at the tight end position. And, I think maybe Marlette will try and take advantage of that. I don't know if they'll be able to do that. They only threw 4 passes last week against USA. So we haven't really seen them go, heavy into the passing game because they haven't really needed to the past couple weeks.
All right, so it's Marlette at Ubley. That will be on Thumbtailgater Sports Channel 1 at thumbtailgater.com. That's at thumbtailgater.com. So check that out. That will be on Friday night. Finally, a game on Friday night also. I want to say that, Ubley beat Bad Axe in week 1, 41-7. Bad Axe comes to Sandusky and gets the bounce back win. Bad Axe came in thinking, hey, I like the size of Bad Axe, by the way, when I saw them there at Sandusky there, Paul. That was a good bounce back win. We know that Sandusky seems to be a little down here, obviously, in the first 2 weeks alone. But a good bounce back win for Bad Axe to maybe get back on track when they come down later in the Greater Than West play.
Well, 100%, Eddie. I mean, when it all shakes out this season, I think you're going to see Bad Axe as a team that wins 6 or 7 games. And you're going to look back at that Ubley game and realize how good this Ubley team really is and how good Bad Axe really is. I mean, they went on the road and absolutely dismantled Sandusky. What was it, 45-6 at halftime? And it was a little bit of everything. Keaton Brown was in on it, Meinhold. There was a few others. Pawlowski had a score. So it was definitely a nice bounce back to see Bad Axe get something going offensively, because they had nothing going against Ubley. But I think that's more of a testament to how good Ubley was than any knock against Baddex. I think Baddex is still really, really good team, but they're just not quite in the, you know, at the caliber that Ubley is. But that was a good win. Hopefully, first one for Coach Verberg, and they can keep building on this and keep it going in the right direction.
All right, so we'll talk about that game later, of course, in the 6 o'clock hour. It is the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show, and we're reviewing week two recaps of the Greater Thumb Conference East and West. We're already running out of time in the 5:30 mark. Tune in for the 6 o'clock hour after the top of the hour news. We're going to talk about Lakers, Cass City, Harbor Beach, Reese, and who Harbor Beach is going to play this week. Those teams are all connected right there. So we'll be right back here on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck. Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back in our 6 o'clock hour for Sportsline High School Radio Show for the high school football recap of week two. Eddie Fury of you. Our coverage, by the way, on Sand Lake Broadcast and WBGV 92.5 FM. We'll have the Blue Water Area Conference. The Croswell Lexington Pioneers will host the Armada Tigers. Our other co-host here, Jonathan Bisher, will be covering on ThumbToeGetter.com Channel 1. It will be Marlette at Ubley. So tune in for that on Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have high school player football. Deckerville Eagles hosting Toledo Christian. We'll talk about that soon. But right now, let's talk about the Greater Thumb Conference. Greater Thumb Cross Conference showdown. Now, these were rivals when they were in league in the West. And now the Wild West has changed. It was the Cass City Redhawks taking on the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, or just known as Lakers around for our area. But it was the win for the Lakers, and I get the win 39-12. This was quite a battle, and there was probably the game of the week for sure in week two. A lot of questions in this one, but the Lakers answered and win 39-12. Paul Adams, you were at this game. Quite a battle out there.
You know, this game, Cass City Lakers, it felt like old Cass City Lakers. I know that this, you know, Cass City's in the East and Lakers is in the West. I don't think anybody really cared about that. This had a big time, big game rivalry feel. And for one half of football, it was 16-12 at halftime. Lakers was up, and then they shut out Cass City in the second half. Cass City opened the game, took the opening drive, converted the first from third down, and eventually scored a touchdown to take the lead. It took less than a minute for the Laker offense to go back down the field with Ethan Wisner, had all the carries in the drive. He was absolutely unstoppable in that drive and for the entire game because he scored all 5 touchdowns. And then from there, it was kind of a slugfest. It got a little ugly in the second quarter. We saw a blocked point after attempt. We saw a blocked punt for a safety. We saw another safety in the game, so I don't remember last time I've seen 2 safeties, but
when it was all said and done and Lakers won the game, I believe it was 39-12, what I came away with was how good Lakers was, and that Cassidy's still a really good team, but for, you know, Lakers is the team that I cover, and how good they can still be. Like, that was a great win, and they made a ton of mistakes in that game. There were some fumbles, 9 penalties for 60 yards, and most of those penalties were procedure penalties, so false start and stuff like that. So when Lakers cleans that up and this offense truly gets going, they're gonna be really tough, no matter what division they're in. I just come away from that Lakers game thoroughly impressed and can't wait to see them play again. They are a really fun team to watch. Weapons all over the field, but it does start with Ethan Wisner.
Yeah, good win for the Lakers. A huge win for them. It was Cassidy actually leading. They struck first 6-0. Landon Schott, who had a huge game against recent week one that we had covered in the Thumbtail Getter Sports, so with Jonathan Bitcher there. It was 6-0, Cassidy leading. Lakers responded 7-6. Ethan Wisner with a 1-yard touchdown. The PAT was good by Sears. That was about 5:56 left in the first quarter. These are recaps coming from WWW Sports Network. A big shout out to Clark Ramsey sending us the info also. It was 14-6 with the second score. Lakers extending their lead. Wisner with a 2-yard score. The PAT was good with 4:21 left in the first half alone. So a little bit of a gap there in scoring-wise. Lakers extending their lead 16-12 with 2:33 left in the first half. So they'll score not too long after that second score for their third score. And then Cass City, 16-12, able to get a score in on the second play from scrimmage. It was a 56-yard TD pass with 1:35 left in the first half. So that late first half, there was a flurry of scoring going on. But at halftime, 16-12, Lakers leading. They pick up where they left off, 23-12. Wisner getting his third rushing TD of the night, 2 yards out also. Good drive there. Time-consuming, 5:41 left in the third quarter alone. End of the third, it was 23-12, Lakers leading. And then 30-12, fourth touchdown for Ethan Wisner. This one from 3 yards out. The PAT was good again. 10 minutes left in the game at that point. And 32-19 at the 8:05 mark left in the game for the Lakers. And also, that was because a snap for a punt went over the head and out in the back of the end zone for a safety at that point. And then Ethan Wisner with his fifth touchdown tonight at the 5:45 mark left in the game. 39-12, 14 yards out. Jonathan, huge win and a lot of yardage for the Lakers on that night also.
Yeah, 446 yards of offense. That's ridiculous with 302 of it coming out of the ground. And like Paul said, it was all Ethan Wisner that night. 199 yards and 26 carries. My only concern is he hurt his knee first half of the first game last year. So far through two games, he's held up. Is he going to be able to withstand this type of workload for the Laker offense? Because if he goes down, who's going to be that guy for the Lakers? Tyson Steinman's a good X factor, but I don't think he's that workhorse type back. And Connor McCain's a nice change of pace at the quarterback position running the ball. But I mean, after Wisner, there's not much there for the Lakers. So being Coach Lavasser, I'd be a little hesitant on how much I use him this early in the season.
Yeah, he's had a huge workload, Jonathan, and that's a good point. He had 190 yards and 3 touchdowns against Sandusky. So he's got almost 400 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's thrown for another touchdown. He's definitely a workhorse, and if he were to go down, and we do not want to see that. I haven't talked to the kid. I talked to him after the Cassidy game. Super, super nice kid. He's so happy and humbled to be back. So I wish nothing but the best for him. But in that scenario, he goes down, the offense changes. It's not going to be the same offense, but one kid that you didn't mention is Jay Steers. So he had just a few carries, but Jay Steers was very explosive anytime he touched the ball. And Eddie, Jay Steers is a nice kid that you're going to like. He's a kicker.
Yes.
He converted all of his point after attempts, and every kickoff he had was a touchback. Every single kickoff he had was a touchback. So every time Cassidy started with the ball, they were on the 20-yard line and had an 80-yard field in front of them. That is a lot to have to get against a really good Lakers defense. So Jay Steers is kind of a secret weapon, and we're seeing a really good kicker and really good athlete emerge out of him.
Paul, did you see him practice any field goals?
Oh, he can kick them. He's not as good as a field goal kicker as Brett Mueller, but as a kickoff specialist, he's every bit as good as Brett Mueller. But his point afters are a little flat and a little wobbly sometimes, so I don't know, you know, what his range is for field goals, but I do know this. When he's sitting there after Lakers scores a touchdown, he's basically going to force that opposing offense to go 80 yards against that defense.
Yeah, I don't want to sell Kansas City Redhawks short. Jonathan, you saw them.
Yeah,
you saw them in week one, Jonathan. They still had 280 yards total, just 123 yards rushing. The passing game, 157 yards. But, you know, they didn't score at all in the second half, Jonathan, and they did get 280 yards. You got to move on from this game now. You know where you got to fix some things, obviously. And now, you know, they'll be coming in against Harbor Beach. Jonathan, you've seen Harbor Beach now. You've seen Kansas City against Cerise also. What's your take going to be on this game for Kansas City, maybe to try to bounce back? But they are taking on Harbor Beach, you know. This is different offense and a type of team for their defense, a challenge.
Yeah, Kansas City is a very, very good team. They just ran into an even better team in Lakers, you know, a buzzsaw coming through the West. But that's going to be a tough game for them against Harbor Beach. You know, they both took care of business relatively easy against Reese. Reese still got a lot of question marks to answer this year after 2 weeks not being able to put a touchdown on the board. But, I mean, that Harbor Beach-Cass City game is going to come down to the wire, and it's going to come down to who's the more physical team. And I'm going to have to give it to Cass City. Week one, they were so much more physical with Reese. Harbor Beach was a little more finesse. They threw the ball quite a bit on Reese. And that just shows that, you know, Cass City, with their time of possession that they can control, like what they did to Lakers in the first half marching down the field, if Harbor Beach doesn't figure out something defensively, as I say, if they figure it out, they haven't allowed a single point yet this year, it could be a long night for the Harbor Beach team because they haven't seen an offense like Cass City's.
Yeah. Before I go back, we transition to over that in our next break. Paul, Lakers shut down Cass City, not allowing them to score in the second half. What did they do adjustment-wise on defense to do that?
Well, I think the whole thing was offensively, Lakers wasn't making the penalties that they were making in the first half, and that allowed them to control the ball, really take control of the time of possession. I think that Lakers had some really nice 5-6 minute drives and just chewed up time to where they left Kansas City with really behind the eight ball. And kind of made Kansas City have to go through the air a little bit and made them a little one-dimensional. And again, every time Lakers scores, Kansas City's got to go 80 yards. So even if Kansas City gets a drive that's 35 or 40 yards, it's stalling, and Lakers is able to take over. But, guys, if you haven't seen Lakers, this is the biggest team you're going to see all year, at least in the Greater Thumb Conference. These guys are massive. You know, Luke Braun, there's a few other guys. But Luke Braun is—he's a man among boys. He's just amazing, and you know, I think, you know, we talked about this. I think one of the biggest things for Lakers is this is year number two with Coach Lavasser, and I see these players so much more comfortable on both sides of the ball and understanding what Coach Lavasser expects out of them. This is the most intricate offense that we see in the Greater Thumb Conference. And defensively, he kind of lets the guys get after it on their own. So it's a good combination.
Yeah, that's one thing we forget is about the offensive line, making this offense work now. This is the second year under this offense. They took a whole year last year. And actually, at the end of the season, even though it was, you know, they only scored 0 points against Palmo, they were in the red zone a couple of times or close to scoring in that playoff game. But that was last year. It seems like, Paul, they're, you know, they figured this out. Things are a little more clear communication-wise from the sidelines to get the plays in, and it looks good. I can't wait to see them against Bad Axe later this season. Now, they've got Vassar next, USA, Carroll Reese. That's setting up to be, I hate to look too far away, but right now that's setting them up to be maybe 6-0 at that point.
Those teams might not score 6 points in that stretch. Lakers is that good. I think this is a great stretch for Lakers to go through. You know, they know where they stand now. They beat a really good Kansas City team. They're gonna kind of take care of some of the bottom teams in the West before they face Bad Axe. I think they're gonna be in really good shape as they go through this stretch and then really ramp it up for the playoffs.
All right, the Kansas City Redhawks, as we said, will be taking on Harbor Beach this week also, and we'll talk about that Harbor Beach team who beat Reese And we'll talk about in our next segment here on the Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, feed, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community. What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds, an affordable price, overall reliability, or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agri Valley Services is the better choice for internet, and it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agri Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agri Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agrivalleyservices.com.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio Show. It's our high school football week two recap. I'm Eddie Fury. Along with me is Jonathan Bisher on the phone of Thumb Tugger Sports, Paul Adams of the Huron County View, and also we have Mike Gallagher with us here from the Sand Lake County News. He'll pipe in from time to time on this segment also, because it does concern a team in your Greater Thumb East division, by the way, Mike.
Yeah, so, of course. Yeah.
By the way, Paul Adams, you have a big announcement. Let's get this out right now. You have a huge announcement for the Huron County View.
Huge announcement. You know, we keep on adding things and with our readers and in mind. And starting this week, for the first time ever, the Huron County View is going to have a sponsored football contest. This is going to be a contest for the readers. We're going to have a $50 gift certificate to one of our sponsors for the remaining 6 weeks of the regular season. The overall winner of those 6 weeks will receive a $100 gift certificate. And then the top 10 after that will all receive $10 gift certificates. It's something that we kind of threw together on the fly. There was a football contest that was canceled. We seized the opportunity to start our own. We're really excited about it. It's going to be, you know, tri-county wide, man. We're not just picking Huron County. We're picking all of Santa Lac County, most of Tuscola County. We'll have the Lions, Michigan State in there every single week. So it's a lot like other contests that you've seen. We couldn't be more excited about it. So it's going to be in print. It's going to be online. We're hoping this is going to be a real big deal to get everybody involved. Everybody loves to see our picks and then see how they stack up against us. So, you know, I know I'm super excited, and my ad staff and my publisher are equally as excited to start this this new project.
All right. So how do they do that? Do you just go online to Huron County View to enter?
Yeah, we'll have the contest up on the Huron County View website. We'll have it up on the Facebook page. I'll be doing it on my own Facebook page. So we'll be pumping it through social media. Forms, physical forms, will be available at the office in a drop box outside the office. And you'll also get the forms through the paper that distributes to over 18,000 households in Huron County every week. So you can fill that out and mail it to us. So there's going to be a variety of ways that you can participate in this contest.
All right. Thank you, Paul, for the Huron County View Sports, and we'll get ready for that contest when it's ready. All right. So let's this next 5 minutes, let's talk about the Harbor Beach Pirates. Jonathan Bitcher, you covered them this week, and they took on the Reese Rockets. You also covered the Reese Rockets against the Cass City Redhawks. Cass City was all over the Reese Rockets in that game, of course, and that was a big win for Cass City in week one, 50-0. And now the Reese Rockets moved on to Harbor Beach. It was a 42-0 win for the Harbor Beach Pirates. So let's talk about this Pirate team. You finally get to see them on the field here. Let's talk about this, Jonathan. What was it that Harbor Beach did that you liked? Of course, they use a spread. They go to the wing tee. Are they still sticking to that same old game plan?
Yeah, it was a little bit of everything for Harbor Beach. I mean, they aired it out. They went spread. They went wing tee. It wasn't really a one-man show. I mean, you could say it was a one-man show because Tanton Babcock did a little bit of everything. But, I mean, it was just an all-out team performance against Harbor Beach, and they made Reese look silly on offense. Reese, this new offense they are running, their players, it's worse than what we saw with Lakers last year at the beginning of the season trying to learn a new offense. They have no feel for it whatsoever. And Harbor Beach defense took it to them.
All right, let's talk about the stats in this game.
Oh, yeah, it was, like I said, a little bit of everything. I mean, Tanton Babcock ran for 133 yards on 11 carries with two touchdowns, and he also threw for a touchdown as he was 4-for-6 through the air for 98 yards. I mean, the kid, if it wasn't for Peruski and Ubley being a junior, I would say he's the best quarterback in the area. The reason why we give it to Peruski is because, well, he's still younger. He's got a whole other season ahead of him that we see the potential there. But, I mean, Tanton Babcock was just all over the field offensively and even defensively a little bit. And like I said, they made Reese look silly. And this Harbor Beach team, we had some question marks coming into him for him in the beginning of the year, and I think they've been answered for me. Defensively, I didn't know what they were going to be like. They pitched back-to-back shutouts, so the best defense in the area. Offensively, I didn't know if they were going to go spread, didn't know if they were going to go wing tee. When you got a running back like Shea Woodkey that runs the ball as hard as anybody I may have seen in the area, you can go wing tee and pound it down their throat. And then when you get athletes like Tanton Babcock and watch this name, Benson Harper, come out, they can air the ball out. I mean, Harper didn't have a catch this week, but you could just see that Reese's defense shifted to him whenever they went to a pass, and it opened up for their big receiver, Jace Knobloch, who had two catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. So it's going to be a fun offense to watch for Harbor Beach. You're going to see a little bit of everything with them. It's just now physicality. Will they match up with Ubley and Cassidy? That's going to be the true question, because, you know, Ubley and Cassidy, all they're going to do is just pound it right down your throat.
133 yards, as you said, for Babcock in the game. He was by far the leading rusher. Second leading rusher was Woodkey also. Those are the key players I recall from last year also. Do they have a total yardage on that one? Offense overall there, Jonathan, do you have that rushing-wise?
Rushing-wise, no, I don't have a total for the team.
Okay, I'll add that up later. So, all right. Yep. I think they had close to maybe over 200 plus, maybe near 300 yards.
I think they were over 300 yards rushing, because they would have had over 200 with just Woodkey and Babcock alone. And then I think it was Buchholz had 50 yards. Knobloch from his tight end position had an 11 yard. We might have seen the three best plays of the year come from this game. Okay. Yeah. Jace Knobloch, a 6'4" tight end, runs a tight end reverse, scores a touchdown for Harbor Beach on fourth and goal. Okay. Babcock then finds Knobloch in the back of the end zone, who just took it away from a defender for a touchdown. I mean, just the defender had it in his hands, and Knobloch just says, I'll take that. And then Caden Buchholz, a freshman, on first and 10 for Reese, they're backed up at their own 1 yard line. They run a quarterback sneak, and the pile's getting pushed forward. All of a sudden, Caden Buchholz just strips Reese's quarterback of the ball, runs about 9 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and then just darts to the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, the ball never touched the ground. No one knew he had it. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Well, just 41 yards total. I have that total of offense for Reese Rockets. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what I said. Their defense definitely was improved from week one to two. They made two huge goal line stands against Harbor Beach. But this offense is nowhere to be found. It is one of the most lackluster offenses I've seen to start this year. You know, they can't move the ball at all.
Paul, okay, so Harbor Beach this week has Cass City. What do you see in this game? Can Cass City bounce back after playing what I believe may be one of the toughest teams in a Greater Thumb Conference right after with Ubley, Lakers and Ubley? Can Cass City bounce back? They're in league play now. It's a very important game.
This is a very, very intriguing game. You know, Harbor Beach is carrying all the momentum into this game, and yet it seems to me like Cass City's still the favorite because I think Cass City holds the physical edge in this game. We talked about it earlier, and I think, you know, can Harbor Beach match the physicality of teams like Cass City and Ubley? That's going to be the question mark, because if Harbor Beach tries to go wing T against a wing T team, that normally doesn't go well. They're going to have to try to spread out Cass City, and that's going to be the recipe for success. Going in the trenches against Cass City is not going to be going to go real well for them. But I think Cass City, I said this off the air. I think as the season goes on, you're going to realize how good of a win that was for Lakers, and that Cass City is still a really good team, and maybe, you know, a Greater Thumb East title contender. Just the Lakers is that good. So I do think that this is a bounce back game for Cass City. This could be a back and forth shootout, but I think physicality in the end is going to be the key. And I think Cass City's got a little bit more of it.
Yeah. Overall rushing wise for Harbor Beach, I think I added it up right here. 304 rushing yards against Reese, 93 total passing yards. So they do pass. Jonathan, you've seen Cass City, you've seen Harbor Beach. Well, I think maybe this is an even matchup. Am I wrong?
I don't say you're wrong saying that. It's going to be a tough game, but like Paul said, I just think Cass City's physicality takes them to a level over Harbor Beach, and we've seen that in the past with Harbor Beach. When they're good, they're good, but what do they struggle with? They struggle with those physical teams up front. We've seen that last year with Ubley both times they played it. What does Ubley do? They just pound it right down their throat in the playoff game. Harbor Beach tries to go wing tee because it was a little worse weather, and they couldn't do anything. So it's going to be, can Harbor Beach use their athleticism, spread them out, and force you to say, either stop Tan Babcock or stop all my receivers, but you're not going to do both. But if Cass City can come out and throw that first punch and catch Harbor Beach off guard, I think it could be all Red Hawks.
All right, so it will be Harbor Beach at Cass City, and that game will be covered on WOW Sports, Cruise 102.1 FM. Paul, where will you be covering games this week?
I will be in Caseville, my friends. 8-player football. North Huron is at Caseville. 0-2 against 0-2. Can't wait, guys.
All right. All right. So interesting game there. It is interesting. 8-player football can surprise you out of the blue there. We'll talk about high school 8-player football in our Tuesday edition of the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. So, there you go, folks. And tune in to Thumb Tugger Sports also. Marlette at Ubley, another intriguing game that would be on Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com. All right, that is our segment on Reese Harbor Beach. Reese, by the way, this week, they will play Unionville Seaboing in Week 3. And then they'll have Bad Axe, Vassar, Lakers, Carroll, Sandusky. Ubley does not get easy for the Reese Rockets. So, I'll tell you what, having problems on offense, just 41 yards against Harbor Beach in Week 2. We'll be back and talk about the Bad Axe Hatchets, a big bounce back win at the Sandusky Redskins for the Bad Axe Hatchets. That's our next segment. We'll talk with Mike Gallagher, of course, on this game. We covered this game on CNAC Broadcasting. It was a 52-14 win for the Bad Axe Hatchets over the Sandusky football team. We'll be back here on the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show.
What's that? What'd you say? Talk of the Thumb.
The kids are back in school, the nights are a bit chillier, and with all the lake activities, campfires, hometown festivals, and parades, you've had a great summer. However, after all the wear and tear from a busy life, your cell phone has seen better days. You're in luck, because Thumb Cellular has deals for you. Throughout September, all iPhone 12 and 13 models are $50 off while supplies last. And if you're a fan of flashy Androids, you can save $200 on the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3. Best of all upgrades or new lines come with a free month of service. Yes, 100% free. Don't forget to protect your new phone with a case and a screen protector. You get $10 off when buying them as a pair. You won't want to miss Thumb Cellular's September deals, so hurry in today. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Visit your local Thumb Cellular office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky, or find out more at thumbcellular.com/deals. Offers valid through September 30th, 2022.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to this Monday Labor Day edition of the Sports Line Radio Show. It's the High School Football Recap Show, Week 2 action. We move on to now the Sandusky football team hosting the Bad Axe Hatchets in Week 2 that we covered on Sandlake Broadcasting WBGV 92.5 FM. It's also streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Look for our Facebook and our website post for that link also and our coverage of games. All high school football games, by the way, on WBGV 92.5 FM. That's 92.5 FM because it streams. Want to get out to the masses out there. A big win, bounce back win for the Bad Axe Hatchets over the Sandusky football team. This was a cross-conference game. 52-14 was the final score. Bad Axe, you know, coming off the loss in Week 1 to the Lakers, 47-6. Got, you know, just got smacked down in Week 1, but this was a good win. And I saw these players up close there, Mike, and Paul and Jonathan, they got some great athletes on this Bad Axe team. A lot of speed, a lot of good strength, a good line in front also. Steve Berberg is the head coach now in year one. This was a good bounce back win. I know we touched on this there, Paul.
Yeah, good bounce back win. You're 100%, Eddie. This is a team that really had a lot of big pieces coming back. I think Bad Axe only lost four seniors off of last year's team, so very high expectations off from a team that had gone back-to-back Greater Thumb West Championships, back-to-back playoff appearances. This was stuff that hasn't been done in Bad Axe since the early 2000s and late 90s when I first started. So this is kind of a historic run for the Hatchets. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm not sure about winning the West because Lakers look that good. But, yeah, as far as this game goes, good first win for Coach Berberg. Good win for these players who, you know, they're adjusting to a new system. So hopefully they start to feel a little bit more comfortable. And obviously a win helps you feel very comfortable coming off a pretty disappointing and and demoralizing loss to Ubley in Week 1.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the loss to Ubley. Sandusky is the team that lost to the Lakers 47-6, while Bad Axe lost to Ubley 41-7. Cross-conference games there. Mike.
Yeah, I think, coming into the season, we knew that this was going to be a tough stretch for Sandusky right off the bat, with Lakers and Bad Axe being possibly the top teams in the West. We did see a little bit of better stuff out of Sandusky.
Yes.
Against Bad Axe. Unfortunately, you're down 31-6 after the first quarter. There's not much you can do after that because Sandusky, with their run game, it's hard to fight back from a deficit like that. But we did see 35 carries, 174 yards, and two touchdowns. That's, leaps and bounds better than the running attack we saw in Week 1 against Lakers. So that's great to see. Bad Axe, 6 for 11, 197 yards, two touchdowns through the air. That's going to be something that you're going to have to clean up. But Jackson Reinke, 13 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. 7.3 yards per carry. That's what you want to see. That's the one thing you can take out of this game. The running game looked a lot better for Sandusky. Carter Krause, 8 carries, 49 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, Bryce Kiley, 8 tackles. That's a name we haven't seen before, heard before. So that's nice to see. Krause, 5 tackles. Franzel, 5 tackles. Tovar and Gibord, 4 tackles. Brennan Long, 2 tackles and a pick. So I'm not worried about Sandusky yet, because this is what we expected. Maybe not such a lopsided score in both of these games, but I don't think anybody should be writing them off just yet. They've gotten through this tough 2-week stretch. They have Memphis this week, and then Marlette the week after that, I believe. So now you have the opportunity to take that step and start getting your first couple wins before you have to get right back into it with Cassidy and Harbor Beach and Ubley. So I'm not ready to write off Sandusky yet, but I'm interested to see if they can take that next step in these upcoming weeks.
Yeah, the first two scores were bad acts, were touchdown runs. Griffin Meinhold, by the way, he's a good player out there. He's really good at kicking us with the PATs. That's what I like about special teams, getting that point. But they did do the two-point runs also, the first couple scores, a 22-yard run and a 51-yard run, two-point conversion runs. Sandusky did score in the third scoring of the game. Jackson Renke, you talked about, 51-yard run. Two-point failed. Then Bad Axe, a 48-yard run. Bad Axe, a 57-yard pass. The kick was good also with the PAT. That was the PAT I was talking about. That was in the first quarter alone. It was 31-6 at the end of the first, and then 14 more points scored for Bad Axe to lead 45-6 at the half. That was a huge deficit for Sandusky to dig out of. And then in the third quarter, just 7 points, because it became a running clock by that point, because the running clock does not start until the half time mark. And then the fourth quarter, just 8 points, but Sandusky got on the board there, I believe. I think it was a 29-yard touchdown run for Sandusky in the fourth quarter. Carden Cruz got that. Sandusky had a 51-yard run, also 2-point conversion. I might be talking about maybe Bad Axe, or maybe actually Bad Axe had a couple penalties. They had a lot of holding penalties, but then they recovered on the next play with a touchdown in the game also. Yeah. They got to clean up those penalties.
8 penalties for 74 yards for Bad Axe.
Yeah. Any comment?
You can't get away with that kind of penalties, and that's a carryover from week one, guys. When Bad Axe shot themselves in the foot penalty-wise in week one against Ubley, you can't do that against good teams, because you're going to lose pretty big. Got away with it against Sandusky, but that's something that Bad Axe has really got to clean up.
Bad Axe, 35 attempts, 174 yards, 2 touchdowns. While Bad Axe themselves, passing-wise, they had 197 yards, 2 touchdowns. They have an interception. Sandusky, 0-for-4 per passing for the Sandusky Redskins. I don't have the rushing.
Not totals, but individually, Griffin Meinhold, 7 carries, 116 yards, 3 touchdowns. Evan Shank, 11 carries, 75 yards. And Keaton Braun, 3 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown.
All right.
So a lot of balance. Looks like Nathan Pulowski, 9 carries, 44 yards. And, just a pretty solid showing for Bad Axe.
Yeah, by the way, that yardage would be a little bit more, but they were playing with short field throughout the whole game also. They were always near 40 or the midfield throughout the game. So good balance and offense there, Paul, for Bad Axe.
Yeah, you know, this offense is a work in progress. You've gone from the single wing to the double wing. And the double wing is it's a different animal. When it's clicking, it can put up a lot of yards and create a lot of havoc. But, you know, when it's not going well, it's a pretty easy offense to shut down, as Ubley showed. In week one, Ubley completely took the base offense away and forced Bad Axe to go to its second and third options, which was going through the air. But, you know, it was nice to see them get some good positive rushing yards in this game.
Yeah, by the way, that was the passing yards. So rushing yards, 321 rushing yards for Bad Axe on top of their passing yards, which was 194, I pointed out. And that was a total of 515 yards. Now, Bad Axe this week... First of all, Sandusky will have Memphis. Always great to have Memphis on your schedule, by the way. But is this Sandusky team good enough to beat Memphis, who just lost and got shut out by Vassar there, Jonathan.
Yeah, they're good enough to beat Memphis.
Okay.
When's the last time Memphis won a Greater Thumb East game? Anyone?
Here?
I don't know.
They beat Brown City last year.
They beat K-Tex.
Did they beat Brown City last year?
Yeah,
wow.
With a field goal, yeah.
Okay.
Last year, I played Memphis for the Greater Thumb East title. They were both undefeated in league play.
Okay, and then Bad Axe themselves now, they have the Carroll Tigers.
Well, Bad Axe is going to 2-1. I mean, Carroll, let's be honest here, Carroll is not a good team, and this is just what the doctor ordered for Bad Axe. A nice win against Sandusky, and you're going to start conference play with one of the worst teams in the West. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. Carroll's not a good team, so this is exactly what Bad Axe needs.
Well, despite that week, go ahead, Jonathan.
I was looking back. Memphis beat Sandusky back in 2013, so don't sleep on them.
All right.
I was going to say, one of the last wins they had was when Mike Gallagher was still in high school.
Yeah.
Okay, 2013, they beat Sandusky 7-6, and then they finally got their first league win since then last year when they beat Brown City.
Okay, and I'm not laughing at the Memphis team here. I'm just saying, you know, okay, we're just kind of looking back on here. So good luck to both teams also. So the Bad Axe Hatchets, like I said, taking on Carroll, and then they have Reese, Unionville, Seboing, and Vassar. They play probably one of the toughest teams in the Greater Thumb Conference. Paul, this kind of sets them up maybe for some playoff points until they meet up against the Lakers, which that could potentially be the Greater Thumb West title game there.
Well, there's no question. You know, one thing I wanted to chime in about Sandusky is you got to look at the first 2 weeks. They played the two best teams in the West. Mm-hmm. They're not going to face two better Greater Thumb West teams than they just did. So, you know, it's not too discouraging when you face the best that the West has to offer. But when you start thinking about that upcoming schedule for Bad Axe, quite frankly, they're going to be 5-1 going into that matchup with Lakers. You know, none of those teams on that schedule are good enough to beat Bad Axe the way they played against Sandusky. So, like I said, you know, I said this after week one, Bad Axe is going to be fine. They're going to get their wins. They're going to make the playoffs. You're just going to look back on that game against Ubley and realize how good Ubley really is. And, you know, Bad Axe isn't a bad team. It's just that Ubley was that much better.
All right. Any quick ending commentary there, Jonathan, from you or not?
I agree with Paul. I mean, Bad Axe is a better team than what they showed week one. They showed in week two. And for Sandusky, I mean, you got a week to get everything sorted out against Memphis. Then you got another week against Marlette where if you got anything that you didn't figure out Memphis, you better figure out this Marlette. Because you have the next toughest gauntlet that you already face. I mean, let's talk about Sandusky. I mean, the first 2 weeks you get Lakers, Bad Axe, and then you get a Memphis and Marlette. Then you have a three-game stretch of brutal Cass City, Harbor Beach, and Ubley. I mean, that might be the toughest schedule in the Thumb.
All right, and Mike Gallagher, where will you be this week coverage-wise? Have you made a decision?
Yeah, this week I'm going to be at Croslex Armada. That's going to be a huge BWAC game. Last year it decided first place in the BWAC. As we know, Armada opened up the season with a big win over Marine City.
Very intriguing game now.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Croslex. I mean, over the past 2 weeks, they've just hit the ground running despite all of the great talent they lost last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in person. And then, of course, we got Deckerville on Saturday. Yeah. It's always nice to get those Saturday games.
By the way, that Blue Water Area Conference show down in Croswell, Lexington, hosting Armada, will be on Sand Lake Broadcasting, WBGV 92.5 FM. So tune in for that. We'll also be streaming it. That wraps up our segment here on this Monday edition. When I come back, I'll run down the list of the games in the Greater Thumb Conference for this upcoming week here on the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show.
From Graff, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, here's Brandon Marley.
It's no secret that dealership lots look very different than they did 3 years ago. In most cases, bare would be a fair description. We understand that this can be incredibly frustrating as a consumer who's looking to make a pretty large purchase, such as a new vehicle. It's difficult enough to decide which color or which options best suit your needs. In test drives, that almost seems like a thing of the past. We can honestly say that we don't like this any more than you do, but sadly, it doesn't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. And for the time being, we think that we've figured out how to make the purchasing experience as simple and and smooth as possible. As always, it can start with a simple phone call, email, or visit to our showroom. At that point, we can go over the vehicles that we have inbound and are not currently reserved, which is currently over 50 Silverados, Blazers, Equinoxes, Encores, and more. Many of these units expected to arrive on our lot in the next couple of months, but we would encourage you not to wait to reserve yours, as most of them become sold before they ever hit the lot. If none of these work for you, it's no problem, as we'd love the opportunity to place an order for you specced out exactly the way you like. The best part is we can lock in today's purchase incentives, and when the vehicle arrives, you have the option of taking those incentives or the incentives available when you take delivery. It doesn't get any better than that. If you're in the market for a new vehicle now, or you think you might be in the next year, give us a call or stop in to go over today's options at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Graff family, we're making friends.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies' leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza and Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BoldLibertyLanes.com.
How do you make the most of your land? Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the Wrens or the Caggianos, who run with us on John Deere mowers, they'd tell you.
I mow first, then I do all the trimming.
Get as much done in advance as possible.
I jump out of the house, a cup of coffee, and I'm at work.
But the Upshaws, the Hubbards, and the Allens, who work behind the wheel of John Deere compact tractors, would say,
something that's worth doing isn't always easy.
If it's something you want, just go after it and try it.
And most of all,
I make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
Then there's the Nelsons and the Mosers, who may mention from the seat of their Gator UTVs,
it's important to just take it one day at a time.
You can't be all working up, play.
The most fun we have on the Gator is just ripping around the property.
It's a way of life.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Race, and Rochester Hills. Welcome back to Sportsline Radio Show, the high school football recap show for week two. And here is the list of our games in week three. In the Greater Thumb Conference East and West, it will be Marlette at Ubley. There will be a live webcast, Channel 1, on thumbtugger.com on Friday at 6:45 p.m. Harbor Beach is at Cass City. That will be on WOW Sports 102.1 FM. Memphis is at Sandusky. Lakers at Vassar. Reese at Unionville. Seaboyne. Carroll at Bad Axe. Blue Water Area Conference, this game will be on 92.5 FM, Sand Lake Broadcasting, WBGV. It's Armada at Croswell Lexington. Big intriguing game there. North Branch is at Yale. Armada at Emily City. We believe Richmond gets the forfeit win over Algonac 1-0, because I don't know who they're really going to be playing. But obviously, if they don't have a game schedule, it'll be a forfeit. High school.
2-0.
What's that?
2-0.
Sometimes the MHSA puts it 1-0. So I don't know who's right or wrong. So
usually it's 2-0.
In high school A-player football, will be Genesee at Kingston, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian at Mayville, Burton Atherton at K-Peck, North Huron at Caseville. That will be the Huron County View sports coverage by Paul Adams with that game. Peck is at Akron Fairgrove. That's an intriguing game there also there, Mike.
Yeah, that should have huge implications for the Stripes. We saw Peck bounce back against Caseville. I think that's kind of more on par with what Peck's going to be this year as opposed to how they looked against Brown City. And Akron Fairgrove getting a big win over CPS. So.
Yeah, that was a big win for the Vikings. Got to be happy about that after their week one loss, I do believe also. So, or you did say it was a win, right?
Week one, Akron lost to Kingston. So
okay, yeah. So we'll save that Viking horn for tomorrow Tuesday segment.
Yeah.
All right. So we have New Haven Mary at Bay City All Saints. Also, Ashley is at Carson Report Sand Lake. Brown City is at Onekama. Also in high school A player football. Saturday. This will be on Thumbtugger Sports Channel 1, I believe. 5:45 p.m. on a Saturday evening. Toledo Christian at Deckerville. Jonathan, how about that game, man?
Never thought I'd cover a team from Ohio, but here we are.
So that was a makeup game because Flint International, here's the news on that, has folded and dropped out of the season.
Yeah, they forfeited their season, and Deckerville wanted to make sure they picked up a game for that. And credit to Deckerville, because you know, you could have taken the forfeit there. You could have you know, that could have been a big win for Deckerville. Instead, you pick up Toledo Christian, which oddly enough, they actually came up to the Peck scrimmage in the preseason, and they looked very good. They looked very fast. But it also works out nicely for Deckerville because the Flint International game was supposed to be on the road. Now Deckerville gets a home game, and should be a good test for them.
All right. So, and a tip of the hat to Toledo Christian for traveling for this game also to play against Deckerville. Also.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, guys. I want to thank Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Enter his football contest. Also, check it out online here on County View. Just Google it. You'll find the link. It's a free online segment that comes out every Thursday. The Sand Lake County News for Mike Gallagher comes out on Wednesdays. Jonathan Bisher on Thumbtugger Sports at thumbtugger.com also. And myself, I'm Eddie Fury on Sand Lake broadcasting for our games. And, of course, Sportsline right here on WMIC, our high school football games on 92.5. Gentlemen, thank you for this Monday Labor Day and working on Labor Day Monday for our Sportsline radio show.
Can't think of a better way to spend it, Eddie.
Yeah, nice chatting with you guys, yeah.
Always good to talk to you.
Okay, and tune in for the Tuesday edition. We'll talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and high school A-player football. Thank you for tuning in to WMIC's Sportsline Radio Show.